Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Warwick City Council Chamber. This is the first meeting of the Warwick City Council Charter Review Commission. I am going to ask Councilman Lattiser, who is co-chair with me, if he would please call the roll.
Starting on my right, if we would just go around the table for those present, and we'll identify who are the current appointed members. Nathan, just start with you for right now as an alternate. Just go around the table and announce yourself.
My name is Nathan Cornell.
Nathan is an alternate who still has to be appointed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Timothy Howe, Ward 3.
Celeste Mullane, Ward 1.
Lynn Radicius, Ward 1.
Donna Travis, Ward 4.
And Ms. Howe.
Jeremy Riggs, Ward 2.
And Pacheco, what ward am I
at? You are 5, sir.
And Camille Vella will consume Ward 3. Mr. Lattiser, we have a quorum.
Thank you.
Okay. So if you have your agenda and you want to follow along, typically we would begin with a 10-minute open microphone session for the public. There isn't anyone that's from the public that's here right now. And Councilman, you said that there were a few members that had indicated to you that they would be coming this evening, but they may be running late.
Yes. Councilwoman Usler had texted me earlier today around 12:30, indicating she was going to be here. Councilman Marola had a 5 o'clock legal appointment in Providence, and he was going to be joining us after that.
And just for the record, Karen Backus also sent me a text and told me that she was on her way here, so she'll be coming to join us this evening as well. So we've had the roll call, the open 10 minutes for the public, and a self-introduction of the members. So let's just talk very briefly about the purpose of having the Charter Change Commission. Every number of years, sometimes it's every 2 years, it could go up to 4 or beyond, members of the City Council are contacted by their constituency, or they have a notion on their own that they want to revisit what the charter looks like. There's a couple of different issues that have come up to the surface. Councilman Lattiser will cover them in a minute. Let the record show that Councilwoman Usler is here from Ward 7. So there are a few items that we've already started with, but this is not an exhaustive list. So when Councilman Lattiser and I had initially spoken about putting the Charter Commission together, the three anchor issues, for lack of a better term, that we had identified were home rule, term limits, and school committee. With regards to the home rule, when we get to that part, I believe that Councilman Gallucci will serve as providing us with a historic perspective, talking about what the council has attempted to do up to this point to go with a home rule. I believe that we are the only core municipality that does not have home rule right now. And who are the other two municipalities, Councilman? Okay. But we're the only one of the five majors that have it, okay? Term limits was something that we've spoken about from time to time, and with term limits is term lengths. We'll have a full discussion with regards to that. And then the school committee, the conversation with the school committee would be, number one, are we looking at staying with it being fully elected? Number two, do we want to recommend that it be appointed? Do we want a blend of appointed and elected? Mr. Sinapi has done a significant amount of research with regards to the different models throughout the state, and then he'll lead off the conversation with regards to the school committee. And then, as I said before, we'll have other issues that we'll be talking about. What I would like to do is start off by discussing the fact that we do have, by the resolution, a representative from each of the wards. We have a representative, actually two, in with Ms. Backus and with Nathan, that represent the school district. We have someone that's a representative or designee from the mayor's office as well. So all of the stakeholders are represented around the table. Councilman?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. So I thought this evening we would have some discussion on these three particular topic items that we've discussed, but also to hear if there are any additional charter changes that someone would like to recommend or open for discussion and communication. We are not looking to bring this into dozens of meetings and hours upon hours of conversation. It's for three, four, five, six items that we feel are important to have conversation on to get to the General Assembly so we can get this on the referendum for the upcoming year. Hopefully we can do this in two or three meetings, including this one, get it to the General Assembly, get it approved, and get it on the ballot for 2016. As Councilwoman Vella Wilkinson said, a home rule charter. I will defer that to Councilman Gallucci. I know that has been a passion of his for many, many years. It's one of the first conversations that he had with me when I got elected in 2012. And I certainly agree with him, particularly after some of the issues that I've experienced myself personally on the City Council, that we need to have some serious conversation about home rule charter versus legislative charter. The term limits, my perspective on term limits, I'm going to continue to keep an open mind on how many terms, if any term limits on the length of terms or the amount of terms. I am very much in a positive mindset for extending our term from a two-year term to a four-year term. I'm not completely embracing the terms of 8 years, 10 years, 12 years, or whatever the case may be, but certainly keeping an open mind to that. The school committee has been a significant issue, as I'm sure you all know, over the past couple of years, particularly the last 2 years, with regards to so many things that have happened, lack of transparency, the issues with the budget year after year since I've been on this council, and prior. I can remember sitting in the audience and hearing the same conversations. It's your fault we have to cut this, and it's your fault we don't have that, and we can't do the Excel programs and all of these things we can't do because we don't have any resources to do it, and it's your fault because you cut our budget. And then in July or August, miraculously, they come up with the surplus of $1 million, $1.5 million, a bunch of different things. And then it's the comments that we have level funded the school committee forever, which is simply not true. There's no truth to that at all. The three budgets I've been on this council, we have changed that twice. One was $400,000, one was $450,000. I believe it was last year the school committee presented a budget to us and said that they needed $1.2 million or $1.6 million, I think it was $1.6 million addition. Otherwise, they're going to cut this, cut that, et cetera, et cetera. Lo and behold, I'm sorry? It might have been $1.8 million. Yeah, it might have been what they were looking for. Yeah, but no. We were talking, we might be talking two different things. Let me finish. It was $1.6 million, $1.8 million. Bottom line is this. We didn't do it. That particular year, I believe, we level funded. And it was a couple of months later, after three budget changes, one in August, one in November, and the final budget change in March, that we're aware of anyways. They miraculously came up with, it was like 3.8 million. The bottom line is this, it was 2.2 million more than they told us they needed in the first place. So it's presented to us that we should be thankful and, you know, we should be grateful that Mr. Ferrucci and company have been able to come up with these resources. My answer is this. If you were my chief financial officer, and year after year after year, you came up to me and you said, guess what I found? A million here, 2 million there, 3 million there. I wouldn't thank you. I'd fire you. Because that tells me it's completely incompetent. And I'm putting mildly when I say that. By the way, we only have one shot at amending our budget. They have three. So for these reasons and many others, I've had an enormous amount of people have approached me in public and on the phone and via email for at least opening the conversation of an appointed school committee versus an elected. And that includes teachers. It includes union representation. There has been a significant amount of conversation, I won't speak for others, but with me, regarding putting this on the ballot and let the voters decide whether they want an elected school committee or an appointed school committee. I agree that, you know, we're going to probably wrestle for a brief period of time as to, so who does the appointing, and is it a split? Is it an all one? Is it with the blessing of the other? That's all open for conversation. So those are the three items that I have on my list, and as I say, certainly would welcome any additional discussion that anyone may want to have. Back to you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. So what I would like to do is begin with the three that Councilman Lattiser has just mentioned, and then before the meeting ends tonight, see if there's any other discussion around the table of other areas that we want to consider. I want to remind you that what we'll be doing is, vetting any of the issues, and then there would be a presentation that would be made to the City Council. So the final decision, based on the recommendations here, would be made by the Warwick City Council. Councilman Gallucci, if I could ask you to just briefly give us a historic perspective on Home Rule Charter, please. Excuse me.
We never went forward with Home Rule. We did do charter amendments which went to the voters in 98-99. There were 15 amendments, 14 of them carried. None of these were part of that resolution that went forward to the General Assembly. I see although I'm a proponent, I see a difficult situation with Home Rule. We need a sponsor at the General Assembly in both House and Senate. Number one, the easiest thing, in my opinion, again, if you want to amend the charter and term limits, you can do that. If you want to have the school committee change as to appointed, you probably can do that. Home rule is really the way to go. Now, remember, we're going to ask the elected officials upstate to really give up a situation such as, anytime you spend money, by the way, you have to go to the state, okay? Home rule will keep it in-house. And it's been difficult. We never went out for home rule, by the way. We did go out for charter amendments, and every one of them passed the last time except increasing the purchasing limit to $5,000, that's only been there for about 60 years. So I think you're probably in immediate discussion is the term limits and the situation with the school committee. And again, by charter, the school committee is, as Karen can attest to, is served 4-year terms, three by district, two at large. Now, we want to change that. It has to go to the voters. In order to get it to the voters, you have to really move quickly. In home rule, and I spoke to Councilman Lattice briefly, I think it's going to be difficult. At best, we can request home rule. We can write the legislation. We need a sponsor in each of the General Assembly, the House and the Senate, in order to move it through. I think that's an easy direction to take? No, but it's the only direction that we can take. And then it goes to the voters in November. Now, you got 60 more days of session with the General Assembly. So if you want to do or discuss, among us of the Charter Commission and then to the Council, in my opinion, the term limit and the school committee change would be easier than home rule, although I'm a firm believer that we certainly should do home rule, but it's not going to be easy.
Councilman Colucci, could you kindly just in a snapshot explain what the value to the city would be of having a home rule charter as opposed to legislative?
Well, we'd never would have to run as we are now to get to the legislation for the expansion of sewers. All right. We would go certainly to the public anytime we issue general obligation bonds. The public has to vote. Revenue bonds can be within the council. Home rule just expand, that position, so we wouldn't have to go for enabling legislation in order to do the sewers as we've gone through. Where that is, it's supposed to be okay, who knows. But I've been a proponent for a lot of years, home rule, but never went, even with the last session, even with the Charter Commission, never went forward.
Was there any indication from the General Assembly why they were hesitant to go forward with home rule, from the fact of giving up control?
It never got by the council.
The council members themselves didn't vote?
The last time it did, I think, when Bruce was, mm-hmm. and no, the council didn't vote.
I believe it never came out to us.
We were waiting for it, and I questioned the former president when we were going to bring that to the floor so we could discuss it, and it just never came out to us. But back in the 90s, that was Lucille's group. They came close of making a home rule charter. They came really close. Yeah, they were doing the whole complete new charter.
Yes.
That came very close. I remember being at the polls. People were out there pushing it, and we just lost by a little.
96, I
think it was later than that.
I was,
but I don't remember.
So it went to the voters, but the voters defeated going from a legislative to home rule charter. Okay.
Came close.
Okay. All right. Do we have? Is there any other question or discussion with regards to home rule charter? Karen?
Is this working? Okay. So With the home rule charter, do you think we have some? I believe that we have people in the House, but do we have anybody in the Senate?
I would say so. We can get support in the Senate.
I would imagine that Aaron Lynch and Senator McCaffrey, Senators McCaffrey, Lynch, and Malofsky would all be.
Oh, good.
I would assume so. I'll approach mine.
I spoke with Alaska, and he said he'd have no problem.
Okay. All right. That's good.
And then the second thing is that with regard to the school committee that I didn't get to jump in on originally is we could also look at a combination of, which we've talked about before,
of elected and appointed,
but increase it because five people really, in my experience, are not enough.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I think with a city this size that we're doing a disservice for the school community by only having five.
Agreed.
And also having, and I'm not saying this with any judgment, it's going to come out tough, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think having three people empowered to make the major decisions with regards to consolidation, changes in the educational platforms and so forth, is also doing a disservice to the school community. So I would agree. I think that, you know, we could, when we get to the portion dealing with schools, we could look at increasing it to 7. We could look at increasing it to 9. And I will tell you that I've had constituents in Ward 3 who have said to me, we've got 9 wards. Why don't we have 9 representatives for the school committee? Because then they have the ability to have subcommittees. And,
right.
And
we can't have subcommittees. you know what it was like.
Well,
trying to
tough.
Get a subcommittee.
Yes.
It's tough.
Yes.
Because
it's tough. And then the quorum. The quorum is tough.
Yeah, the quorum.
That was one of the amendments.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
9. Opposed 9.
Yeah. Good.
If you look at it, as I do, the 5 big communities,
Providence has appointed. Right, and they act really as a department with their budget, et cetera. Again, this is just an opinion, and I think most of you will be on longer than I will. Let's put it that way. That you probably want to voice your own opinion. But I believed in 9. I believed in term limits. This discussion came up in the past, and home rule never went anywhere. Okay. None of them really didn't go anywhere. I even believed in having no signs. Well, that didn't go anywhere because it was felt as if I was an incumbent, it would favor me. But is it time for change? Yeah, it has been time for a change, in my opinion. Long time coming. And as I say, and I caution, just be careful because if you want to put it together quickly and do it in the right way so that you got a shot at the General Assembly putting it on a ballot with a favorable recommendation, and then the voters. It has to go on in November. Can't go on before November. My idea in the past was to pre-file in November with the General Assembly so that it could be heard in January and February, rather than waiting. But that never went. So we are where we are with really some changes that were a long time ago and haven't been since. I haven't been nothing with you, Steve, right, in 16 years?
We've had charter review committees.
Yes, you have.
Yes. Yeah.
But it didn't go beyond that.
Well, I'd have to look back at some changes that might have been made that aren't considered as significant as what we're talking about.
Now, Joe, same with Joe. He's been on...
A couple of what's happened is because they may have been conflicting opinions.
Okay.
Some of them may have taken off for a vote. Some of them have disbanded because of politics. The other ones were established. I don't recall any of them making it to the State House.
Yep. Except way back when.
Councilman Solomon, could you offer your opinion of us looking at a home rule charter vice a legislative charter? I'd like to hear, if you don't mind voicing an opinion, both from you and Councilman Merola, given the amount of time that you've both been on the council.
Bottom line is, whatever we come up with, or whatever changes are made, that doesn't result in perfection. So it doesn't... For future changes, it's a lot more facilitated by doing it under a home rule charter than a legislative charter. So I don't believe that any changes that would be recommended and accepted are going to be the end of all changes. There's going to be changes in the future. And if future constituents, elected officials want to make those changes, it's a lot more easier to do by home rule charter than legislative charter.
Councilman Merola?
I'd certainly be up for listening to the idea of a home rule charter. Obviously, a legislative charter is designed to have another check and balance in place, which is that the elected officials at the state level also have some oversight as to what's happening. And obviously the biggest issue that comes before us that goes before the voters is the issue of bonding. So it might be open space bonding, it might be school bonding. Those are the typical issues that go up to the State House to see if we have support. I always found it interesting that they debate those issues up there for us to see if it passes, because in many of those cases, in particular school bonding, the state is ready, if you will, to recognize that we have some bonding and could we get some matching bonding. And I'd love to say that we keep in contact with our General Assembly members regarding every issue that comes before us or every concern that comes before us, but to say that that's true, it's not. I always found it to be a benefit if our General Assembly members knew that there's a bond coming up, how much that bond is, and maybe because of the school aid formula, where I think we all take a beating and we recognize we take a beating, that that's their opportunity to advocate for more funds for us up at the state level. If we had a home rule charter, maybe that wouldn't be on the forefront of everybody's mind. But if somebody from Pawtucket or Providence voted for our bond referendum to come before the citizens of Warwick, it's certainly an interesting argument for a representative or a senator to make, to say, well, gee, you voted for that, to put that bond on the ballot for them. Couldn't you also give them some funding because you thought that that was a good idea at that point? So those are the big issues that I see between a home rule and a legislative charter. And I've seen some benefits to a legislative charter, and obviously the reciprocal is if the General Assembly members aren't on board with you, then it makes it more difficult. But I've always looked at the fact that for cities and towns to be really successful on large projects, you do need the support for matching funds from the General Assembly members, and getting them on record to vote on something and supporting you when the time comes to get that funding, I think it makes it a little bit easier. But that's been my experience on Home Rule Charter.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Lattison.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I take a look at the situation where Councilman Morrill alluded to the perception of a checks and balances kind of thing between the City Council and the General Assembly. The problem that I have, actually twofold with that, is the only check and balances on the General Assembly is the voters. So there's really no check and balances for them. We here in city government, in Warwick, nine elected officials, the administration, all the department heads, et cetera, we're the ones that are in the trenches daily with what's going on in our community. We're the ones that get into the nickel and dimes. We're the ones that know those moving parts that don't always come out at the General Assembly. And to me, the bigger issue is we have, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm going to say some nine folks from Warwick in the General Assembly or whatever the number is. All the rest are voting on what? You know, it's not as though there's any skin in the game for the rest of them to support or not support something from the city of Warwick. I believe that the people who were elected by the people of the city of Warwick know best for what's good or bad for the city of Warwick. And that's the problem that I have when something has to go to the General Assembly and we need to rely on elected officials who mean well and have good intentions, but they don't have the knowledge and they don't have all the information and the inner workings of what is going on in the city. And they're voting on something that affects us. And that's why I'm leaning very heavily to trying to get this home rule charter done. I agree with Councilman Gallucci, it's not going to be easy, but we deal with things every day that are not easy, both in the private sector as well as on the city council. I have spoken to some of our colleagues at the State House, and sure, it's going to be a bit of a challenge. We need to iron this out. We need to get it up there. But there's still that possibility doing it. We still have, as two of our local reps have indicated to me, we still have plenty of time. So, yes, it's not going to be easy, but in the long run, is it going to be worth it? Yeah, I think it is. So I think if we all put our heads together and focus on the issues of what needs to be done with Home Rule Charter, I'm completely confident that we put it in the hands of our Warwick delegation, and they're going to do everything they can to help us get this done.
Thank you, Councilman. Mr. Sinapi?
As far as it being hashed out at the state level, I don't think while there is the benefit that the aid and the is more likely to happen, or at least more likely to get support and kind of to pin them down later on, I don't want to give more opportunity for state-level politics to start influencing the ability for the city to function when it already has a lot of influence as is. Like, as Councilman Morola mentioned, they have, when it comes to aid and whatnot, I don't want to give them more chips to pretty much use as for the purposes of sheer politics rather than us trying to actually help the city get everything running. Like, I don't really see on the council people bargaining things away for, you give me this, I give you that, but it happens in the General Assembly, and I'd rather it stay in the General Assembly where it belongs, not here.
Thank you, Mr. Snappy. Council President.
Well, like I said from the beginning, I was in favor of home rule way back in the 90s and fought hard with them to try to get that changed then. And Councilman Lattisaw took the words out of my mouth when I was going to try to tell. The grassroots is right here. We're the ones who are getting, we have to deal with everything. And unless we educate some of our elected officials at the state, they're not even aware of some of the issues we have. You know, I've talked to a couple of them with some of the issues about schools, and they look amazed, like, really? They're not sure. So it's up to us to let them know, and maybe they'll have a different look at it, because it goes up there, and they're not aware of some of the stuff we have to deal with, and especially when we're getting aggravated, like you brought up about the different budgets. Well, I mean, and I sat in a meeting, and the mayor was there, and the school committee chair was there, and the attorney, Ferrucci was there. No, he wasn't. The superintendent was there. And we went crazy because Ferrucci submitted five different budgets. And, you know, the mayor got mad. He said, if our guy submitted a budget once wrong, they would have took everybody's head off from the administration down. And your person can send five different ones and keeps changing it and keeps changing it and keeps changing it. And then only what? To find out after is we got surpluses, after they're telling that we don't give them enough money. So stuff like that is, you know, the House and Rep and the State Senate, they don't know that stuff. They don't know a lot of stuff. So I think it's up to us, too, to educate them more. But not saying they're bad. You know, they got issues. But, I mean, there's some things that got to be brought up to them so they'll be on board more. But a home rule, I think, is the way to go, because it's going to be able to change things for us in the better, for our community, for our constituents.
Councilman Solomon.
I don't want you to misinterpret what I mean by favorite home rule. I think our role as delegations, both in the House and the Senate, have been very caring about what goes on in the city. My reason for favoring the home rule charter, any future changes can be done more expeditiously, not because anyone cares any more or less. There are bad people at the State House, and sometimes there are bad people on the council. I'm not saying the council,
no, I know.
But I've seen it. So to say that local is good and state is bad, or state is bad and local is good, you can't do that because the people that represent us locally up in the State House, we all have good intentions.
Absolutely.
Again, my leaning towards the home rule charter is that any future changes would be done in a more expeditious manner. So that's why I'm advocating that side.
Thank you, Councilman. Is there any further discussion with regards to home rule, Shauna?
Madam Chair?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, Nathan.
About home rule charter, I was wondering, would you do that as well with the charter changes? Because one of the purposes of having a home rule charter is to make more easier changes so that only the City Council and not the General Assembly would make these changes. For example, school committee changes. So would you try to pass the home rule charter first, then make these changes, or do it simultaneously?
I don't want to speak for the group, but I can tell you my understanding, Nathan, is that in the past, when the City Council has made changes to or recommended changes to the charter, that switching from a legislative to a home rule charter was also one of the articulated changes. So rather than try to go for a home rule charter, get that passed, and then next session change, the council found it was more expeditious, to use Councilman Solomon's word, to do it together. Did that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. However, I think if we do that, we probably should be prepared because the General Assembly might think we are asking too much and we might get some whiplash on that matter.
I think it's a very good point. Your point is well taken. That's it. Is there any other further discussion with regards to home rule charters? May I have a motion with regards to forwarding home rule charter to the City Council? May I have this? Okay. Councilman, would you call the roll for a vote, please? On forwarding home rule charter to the City Council as one of the potential changes that we would be sending to General Assembly. Yeah, this is just on this one particular issue.
Without further research.
No, once you get to the committee, then you're going to research it and do more work on it.
Yeah. So this is just the first phase.
Well,
we haven't gotten to the point where we've written the legislation yet.
I think what the suggestion is to get a consensus of the council that we want to have home rule charter or proposed home rule charter, changing to a home rule charter as part of our Charter Review Commission package that we will vet in committee and then.
Yes, that's exactly correct.
No, we have to work on it.
No. This is what what we had initiated when we stepped off this evening was to talk about fleshing out those issues that are going to be forwarded to the City Council. The Council will decide as a whole what they want us to take action on. That's why we want to move quickly on this. Now, Councilman, yes, Councilman Solomon.
First discussion such as this, we earmark the issue we would like to try to refine. And we're talking about this informal discussion. We set up an itinerary for future meetings. The discussion is going to be on this. We look how it's currently done with definitive terms and procedures, things of that nature, and how we would like to reform those. Then when we put the entire package together, the whole package as a whole, is sent over to the council for a vote by the council. But didn't do it, for instance, on this one issue. Otherwise, it would be very time-consuming, we wouldn't get anything up to the state. We did it as a package.
Right.
Not as an individual resolution. Be addressed by the council. Yes, we want them to deal with it. We would take action as a committee ourselves
based on discussion of those issues. So we're talking about this here tonight. I think that should be an item that we should further dive into. But I don't think I myself am not ready to take action tonight on that, because even with my past experience, I don't know all of the intricacies. And I know there's a lot of people here tonight who are not client commissions that don't know those intricacies. And to ask them to go one way or another without knowing what the consequences may be would be unfair to those members on this commission.
And also, I think that what we had discussed in a very early part of this is to try and, I concur with what you said, to try and complete this in three meetings so we don't drag this out for meeting after meeting after meeting. Maybe it might take a meeting or more to do so. But the other thing, too, is I think that perhaps it would be a good idea before we vote on a specific item is to get into at least another meeting and see if we have any members of the general public come here as well. Yeah, right. I just don't want anything to be perceived that we're trying to rush through this thing and, you know, push something through. I just don't like that.
Go ahead, Councilman.
At the commission meeting, very early in the process, every member of the commission should be providing each item. We go through it together so that what we're doing is we're looking at the content that we're looking to change or not change.
Okay.
So we have a better understanding.
All right.
Again, I'm not.
Yeah. No. I appreciate the suggestion. Absolutely. That's fine. I mean, I was under the impression that what we would do is identify the issues that we wanted to flesh out and then find out if the council was of the same mind before we started spending a lot of time doing the research. But, I mean, I defer to you and the council president. You've done this before.
Well, I was just going to say that. But I think this meeting should be like, if there's something that we don't want to do, all right, then we know we don't discuss that. But we know, like, the homeroom charter is definitely one thing, okay, that we all agree about that. Maybe the school committee is another issue. And if the term limits is, fine. If it's not, then we eliminate that. But this would be a good meeting just to figure out which ones are good in. Yeah.
That's fine.
I think I agree with Councilman Solomon.
Right. So then is it fair to say that we're all in agreement that that a home rule charter is something that we're going to revisit and potentially move forward?
Let's call it an action item.
Yeah, action item. That's great. That's great. So the first action item would be further research on home rule. Excellent. Okay.
Who's going to conduct that research?
Well, that was going to be my question. Were you looking at volunteers?
We got a few of them.
Go ahead.
Have access to the council liaison to do that
legwork on it.
That's in the past. That's what we
do. Okay.
So, Councilman Solomon, do you think that perhaps a lot of this legwork has already been done? I mean, we don't want to reinvent the wheel if we don't have to. Is this defined somewhere? Or Councilman Galusha, I know you were pretty much involved in that. So there should be some language somewhere so we don't have to sit here.
That was a different commission. This is a new commission.
Yeah.
But something as a guideline.
But new eyes.
What we could probably do then is reach out to the council liaison to see if there's any legislative history with regards to the home rule charter or the charter being changed from legislative to home rule. So that would serve as a base. And then my question is, do we have anyone that's on the commission right now that would be interested in conducting some further research or potentially drafting some language that we could look at the next meeting? Okay. So we have
questions.
Go ahead, Mr. Pacheco.
I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I'm kind of confused about this whole process. This is not what I would envision for a stereotypical charter review commission process. And the reason I state that is just using my own personal experience from the town of Barraville. The charter review commission is appointed by the council. I think I counted 7 council members that are present here, and no council members in Barville actually included in the actual Charter Review Commission. That commission is comprised of a component of citizens made up of the community, by which serves as a legal body that is supported by the city solicitor, the town solicitor in that particular case. Furthermore, the council certainly brings up topics that this committee can consider and debate and ultimately vote on themselves to commit to the council, by which ultimately is the authority that will make a determination whether or not that goes to the voters, ultimately on the ballot, and so on and so forth. Obviously, in this particular case, you have an extra step to that process by which that anything that the council is going to vote on has to go to the legislature and ultimately to the voters, and so on and so forth. But so I appreciate what Councilman Solomon brought up, is that number one is, particularly tonight, I would suggest is an organizational meeting. First and foremost. Second, I appreciate you asking for consensus on the various items, because I don't think, again, I'm not intimately familiar with the charter. I didn't study it, you know, from first page to the back page in advance of this meeting, so I apologize. I actually was hoping that somebody might have a copy of that for us to take a peek at and possibly review. And I would ask that the, I would actually suggest that, if, is someone here from the solicitor's office? So I would always recommend to the city council to have a member of the solicitor's office, I'm assuming that person shows up to all your meetings, to support you all, especially this particular body, as it pertains to any drafting, because again, it should be the solicitor drafting resolutions or any proposed language that this body or the council would be voting on. So again, I have no problem with the consensus, I have no problem with identifying items that we should certainly study. But I just want to make sure that you, this group, and the council in particular, by the way, is invoking a process by which the people from the outside can support, respect, and ultimately see themselves getting behind the various issues that you all are going to propose, and ultimately goes up to the legislature. So I raised that as a red flag right off the bat, because I was thrilled when Councilman Lattiser called me to be a part of this process, but I guess I envisioned a much different process.
Well, I was going to say, in order to participate in the process, you have to have a handle on the subject matter.
Sure.
You know how the city operates.
Sure.
And if you don't, it makes it very difficult to positive input.
Sure.
In our city, we have two types of legal representation. We have our own separate attorney for the council, and the council matters. The administration has a staff of attorneys.
Right.
The administration wishes to have a member of their staff attorneys present at the meeting. But in the past, when we established legislation within the city of Baldwin, we present our ideas, our concrete documents, and our basis for that to our legislators. So basically, puts it in legal terms and legislative terms. But as for legal advice, any liability, outstanding matters of that matter lies within the solicitor's office, which is autonomous to our attorney that's the city council. So I think at the outset, that's, you should be aware of that. And relative to the composition of the Charter Review Commission, there's always been council participation on the past that charter. Simply because of reasons such as this, as you pointed out, decisions being made by someone that doesn't know how the process works. That could be very dangerous. And, you know, dangerous one, waste of time two, and three, when it finally gets to the council, they may determine it completely frivolous, and all that hard work, unnecessary work, out the window. So we do need some sort of experience level on the commission. That's a definite.
Whether
a council member is a member of the commission or sitting in the audience,
right,
because this is a public meeting, who wants to contribute,
absolutely,
then those ideas are going to be accepted. I don't care if there's someone here right now,
right,
as a council person, they wanted to speak and they had some input. I don't think myself or any of my colleagues would include them.
No.
That's the way the system works here in City Hall.
Right.
I'm not familiar with all of them.
Right. Well, no. I just put it out on the table because that when we start calling for votes, I think it's prudent that those action items are made public for the very reasons you're articulating, and that the public does have an opportunity to weigh in that concert. And while there are certainly obviously members of the council that are intimately familiar with the debate around home rule charter or any other issue for that matter that's come up over the years, I'm going to guess that not every member of the general public in the city of Warwick is intimately familiar with those issues and is going to want the opportunity to weigh in one way or the other.
It's unfair to ask them to do so. So without a copy of what our current charter looks like and an understanding of what our current charter is, that's unfair.
And we have to
educate them. Everyone should have a copy of the charter.
Yeah, absolutely.
People ask me all the time.
Oh, and then finally, I also wanted to mention that although we do have a large number of city council members that are here, not all of us are voting members of the commission. So we do have designees. The original resolution was a representative from each of the wards as a member of the city council or his or her designee. So that's what we have here as far as the mix.
That could be a charter change, too. It could be charter commissions. The system elected officials.
Yeah. That's true.
Sure.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Okay. So,
it's an action item.
So, the action item. So, Anthony, did you say that you were interested in starting to work on language with regards to a home rule charter as opposed to legislative? Is there anyone else that wants to work with Anthony on that particular action item? Kathleen, did you say you were interested?
Yes.
Okay.
So I cannot warrant or hope that any of my language, or as I like to say, verbiage, will be correct. My best.
And as Councilman Salomon had said, that final blessing of the language is going to come from the City Council solicitor anyway, and then prior to the City Council members themselves tweaking it on the floor.
But then in that regard, how much do you want me to bother with legal language? Because I'm a lawyer, so just do you want me to bother if they're gonna hack it up anyway?
Well, I think that if you're able to give John a giant step forward because you're using the appropriate language, I think that would just again expedite the full process.
Yeah, right.
Yes,
right.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly right. Good. Okay.
That are cities because towns.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Right.
After we've discussed it, take a vote on
right.
If we want to change it, how we want to change it.
Good.
Then
okay.
We should delegate that authority to Mr. Sinapi.
That's great. What we could do, Mr. Sinapi, is since you and Councilwoman Usler are going to be leading the action on that, on item number one, then perhaps the two of you can get together and then you'll facilitate that portion of the discussion when next we meet. This way you'll have, you know, copies of the of our charter, examples, as Councilman Marola had said, of other charters. Any photocopying that you need done can be done through the City Council liaison, Joanne Canoyer. All right. So we'll put the two of you down as being in charge of that particular area. All right. Councilman Lattice, so what was the second item, please?
Term limits.
Okay. So what we currently have, as you all know, is the City Council has a two-year term length. The school committee has a four-year term length. The mayor also has a two-year term length. There are no term limits that are identified, by our charter. As Councilman Marola has been known to say, the term limits happen every 2 years when there's an election in the city. There are some of the municipalities within the state of Rhode Island that do have term limits, some who do have four-year term limits for both school committees as well as the city or town councils as well. So I would like to open up the discussion with regards to term limits and term lengths.
Just a quick note, when it comes to first term lengths, at least for school committees, the sheet I passed out has them, but also when it comes to term limits, I actually had a column on here originally with term limits on them, but in order to actually find it for each, because I went through 38, 39 charters today, and term limits are sometimes kind of hidden. Mm-hmm. I only saw one pop out at me for a school committee, and I believe they also had it for their town council, but at least for other school committees, I didn't see any. It doesn't mean they're not there, because like I said, sometimes they're hidden in different parts of the charter, and I was only specifically targeting the school committee portions, but it does not seem to be at least a norm, otherwise it would have been more readily apparent.
And just to make sure that I'm clear on this, what we would be doing and I'm going to rely on my brothers and sister to square me away if I'm saying this incorrectly. But what we would be looking at is the crafting of a question that would be posed to the general public with regards to term limits or term lengths. It would not be that we would say right off the bat that we feel that there should be a four-year term or that there should be term limits. Am I correct in that, Councilman Solomon? I know that's what we had looked at once before, would just be a question as a referendum to the voters to let them decide.
That's it. I agree, too.
As the voters, I'm clear to vote for or against them, whether they be elected or not, elected person. That in itself, in of itself, is a referendum.
Councilwoman Esselin?
I know how you all like to shut me down.
This isn't the school.
Oh, well, you're here. My concern, and I guess what I would like to see, is maybe a longer term than 2 years, if we could at least change that, being this my first term and I can't wait for it to be over so I can move on to my next one. I feel like 2 years is kind of short. In a learning curve, it's short, and in a money curve, it's expensive. We're revisiting spending money every 2 years when I think you could get a lot more done in 3 years, and I just feel that 2 years is too quick. I do. I feel I don't think terms, like you said, like Councilman Marola said, when we vote, that's a new term. But I do believe 2 years is it's not really a significant enough amount of time. And if he has here just the school committees, but if you look at it, the average is four. With some threes in, yeah, length of term. This is the school committees, that's what I said, yeah. But the majority of us is 4 years. And I feel with the city council, it's, again, too quick. And we're burning money that really is a waste more than anything.
I just want to follow up with what Kathleen said. And it does take time to go through a budget cycle to learn. And I know some of the council people have been here for a while. For example, we'll hear about overtime on the fire department. We'll say, well, we're out on a new cycle. And when the new firefighters come in, overtime will go down. And, of course, overtime doesn't go down. And we learn our lesson that doesn't come to fruition. And you'll see where at the end of the year, that the administration is allowed, and I'm just giving you some examples, in the last quarter to move money within one department to another line item that they overspent. And traditionally, some line items get overspent, and we start to pick up on that. So there is a learning curve. I understand what Councilwoman Osler was talking about. And then, as Councilwoman Val Wilkinson said, about every 2 years, and as Mr. Sinapi pointed out on the school committee, maybe there's one out of the entire state that has term limits. My own position is that we all have a physician. We all have the mechanic that we go to, or the accountant that we go to. How many times do we go to that accountant and say, it's been 6 years, you're doing a good job, or I'm switching it up because maybe you don't have a better idea. Or, you know, you go to your doctor and you say, hey, you know what, you did a good job for 6 years, but you're doing too good of a job, and you know my history and what I'm concerned about, and you share my values and concerns, but I don't want you just because for the sake of it's a 6 year, you know, we picked this arbitrary and capricious number, 6 years. I'm proud of the fact that people get to vote for me every 2 years. And when they do vote, they vote me in for 2 years. That's my term limit. And I have faith in the general public to make decisions about what's in their best interest. And if they don't believe any one of us needs to be returned to our seat or should be returned to our seat, they have the opportunity every 2 years to do that. And So that's why I have never been in favor of term limits, because just like we pick our accountant, physician, doctor, any other professional that we go to, that's our choice, and our choices shouldn't be limited just for the sake of limiting. Thank you.
Jeremy.
I'm generally in favor of not having term limits for many of the reasons already stated. And in addition, because this is a part-time city council, part-time job, having the institutional knowledge, I would be concerned about having too high or too quick turnover and loss of that institutional knowledge. I would also speak in favor of perhaps lengthening terms, but I believe that there would have to be another check. If we were to, say, stay without term limits and to lengthen terms from 2 years to, say, 4 years, I would say 4 years instead of 3 years, because elections in odd-numbered years would generate very little turnout and might not represent elect people who are really representative of the neighborhoods that they have to represent. So I would propose a possible check, and forgive me, I'm not sure if it's mentioned anywhere in our charter right now, but perhaps we could also discuss a provision, should terms be lengthened, of having the allowance of recall elections. Just a thought.
Go ahead, Ms. Backus.
As far as term limits, I'd ask you to reflect back to when the state had 2 year term with Governor General Armistice. And it was actually, yes, maybe it was a lot better because we had to do it. Not so high. But now we're stuck with 4 years. A lot of people.
Council President?
No, well, I'm definitely not in favor of. I think the pot is just like, and she put it in a different way that I was going to word it. If somebody's doing their job and they're doing it good, and the people are electing that person, I don't think it's fair that we're going to say, well, nope, you're right, you've been here too long now, you got to go. And then what happens if you get someone that's not doing the job good, not representing the people? And I mean, I was one example when I lost the election in 2000 by 9 votes, only to have those same people who didn't vote for me call me up and beg me to run again. Okay, now I'm not just saying because I did a good job then. I did do a good job before that, but the point was the person who took my place did not do the good job that was supposed to be done. So the fact of the matter was I came back and won bigger because I was doing my work at that time. But if you got someone like getting stuck, well, we got some people on the school committee, they're going to be there for 2 more years, and they've been a problem. They've been a problem for the last 2 years, but because they won, they're still there, and we're going to have to still deal with them, whether we like it or not, because they're 4-year terms. Putting these terms in there, I think it's wrong. I think the 2-year getting elected, the people decide that for us. It's not like who does this and who does that. If they want us back, they vote for us back. If they don't want us back, they replace us. So I'm not in favor of the, especially the term limits. I mean, the 2-year term or whatever it is. I agree with Kathleen, one part too, because, all right, we got elected this year. We do our work. Next year's campaigning again. So now you got to campaign and do your council, do your regular life stuff. And it's hard. But you have to do it if that's what you want to do, or else don't run. I mean, I wasn't happy when I first got elected and said, okay, I got so much stuff I want to do.
And then here it comes. Oh God, we got a campaign again. Now you're campaigning and you're doing your council work and you're doing all your constituents, other new stuff coming in. So you got stuff left over, you got new stuff, you're campaigning. And it's hectic for everyone, all the council people, but they know that. But in 4 years, we make it a lot easier, right, Kathleen? I know. But, I mean, there's ups and downs, but that's my opinion.
Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. When I first got elected to the City Council, I was very much in favor of term limits, be it 8 years or 12 years or whatever the number may be. And then we had discussion on this at the council floor one night, and Councilman Marola actually changed my mind, let's say 95% on term limits for any length of time. And he spoke very well to the reasons. And to me, that also resonates into the support I would put behind extending from a 2-year to 4-year. One resonates to the other. And Councilman Marola said that, as he's already alluded to, the voters, they put your term limits on there. But he also said that when you first get elected to the City Council, most people have zero experience in government at all. And that is true. I was fortunate. I had spent 5-6 years, whatever it was, as a lobbyist, spent a lot of time at the General Assembly, chaired the Legislative Committee at the Rhode Island Builders Association for many years. But I can tell you, it was a significant change when I first sat here on the City Council. And he said that in your first term, you're just really starting to catch on to what's going on by the end of that first term. And at the end of your second term, you're starting to, you know your way around the park a little bit better. You've gained some experience. You kind of understand the logistics and the makeup of how the city government works, how it doesn't work. And if you put a term limit on it, be it 4 years or 8 years or 12 years or whatever, that there's going to be those times where someone is just beginning to catch on to what's going on here and understand the process and representing the people that had elected them better than when they first got elected initially. So in 2 years, sure, you can do little damage perhaps, but perhaps you can do little good as well, because you don't have that experience that some of our colleagues on the City Council have had over the years, both knowing the good and knowing the bad. I personally think that 4-year terms is good. There's various other forms of government, such as our executive branch of the General Assembly, 4 years, et cetera, et cetera. I suppose there's always a way to have somebody removed from office if they're doing that bad a job. It also could be a situation where perhaps your first year, in innocence and naive, you're not doing such a great job. And then your second year, you begin to improve a little bit. And then your third year, you become better because now you're surrounded with people who have a lot more experience. That was one of the other points that Councilman Marola said, and I would certainly agree to that wholeheartedly, that as I came into my second term, because of the experience that I was able to work with my colleagues on the City Council, at least I believe anyways, that it has made me a better representative of the people that elected me in the first place. So for me, those terms going from 2 to 4, I would support that. And I also think that, I think that my guess would be that the large majority of the voters would support that. And it may not be just because they want to see you sitting there longer. It may be because they don't want to go through this process every 2 years. And it is an expensive process. It's an expensive process for the taxpayers because somebody's footing the bill for these elections, and that's the taxpayers. So to me, I would rather spend 3 years or 3.5 years busting my hump doing the job that the people elected me to do in the first place and worry about a re-election for the last 4 or 5 months than have to worry about that or consider it or do it every couple of years. I would rather be hands-on in the trenches with the people that elected me in the first place.
Nathan.
There's two things I would like to address. The first in regard to term limits. The thing with it, there's pros and cons. Pros of it is that you might get new people in office, not the same people, because when you're on a voting ballot, you tend to vote, if you don't know a person, you tend to vote for the person you recognize. So if people from previous elections, although you might not know who they are, you recognize the name and you might vote for them. Or there's other situations in which only one person is running and no one opposes them. But if that person is prevented from running, maybe somebody in write-ins will actually become better at their job than they are. However, the problems with term limits is that, as you were saying, experience. Because 2 years in a city council, like, you're new to it. You don't know what you're doing at first, and it takes a little while, like 4 years sometimes, to know what you're doing. But it's experience. Sometimes you want more experienced people to do it. So it's an interesting question. And the second thing I'd like to address in regard to term limits, you talk about expanding the city council, but I'm thinking perhaps the school committee should instead have 4-year terms, maybe have 2-year terms, so you wouldn't be stuck with the same people. For example, like in the last elections, like there were 3 people elected, and then a year into their term, some bad things happened that made them more unpopular. However, now you're stuck with them for 3 more years. So perhaps we can discuss maybe having 2-year limits for school committee members.
Okay. I'd like to weigh in real quick, and then I have Mr. Sinapi and then Councilman Marola. So there's been a lot of information that's been put on the floor. And I will tell you that I find the comparison of your doctor or your lawyer or your accountant, if they're doing a good job, you wouldn't just arbitrarily say, I'm not going to work with you anymore. The difference being you have the choice. And so now, what are we talking about with regards to term limits and term lengths? If the voters are satisfied with having no term limits, then the question will be answered on the ballot, no. They'll want to keep things as they are. If the voters feel that term limits are appropriate for their local elected officials, then, like Councilman Marola says, he has faith in the voters. I do too. If they're not satisfied, if they feel that we should not be having people that are in elected office, whether it's council, whether it's school committee, whether it's the mayor's office, indefinitely, then they're fully capable of saying, yeah, we want term limits. The President of the United States, 4-year term, 3-year maximum. And so what are we saying? Are we saying that the members of the school committee in the city of Warwick, the members of the city council in the city of Warwick are more critical to the quality of life in our municipality than the president is in the United States of America? When I talk about term limits, I'm not talking about 6 years or 8 years. If we go with a 4-year term and we say 12 years, then, you know, that would be something that would be a consideration. But the fact of the matter is this. For me, and I'm going to, that's the only person I could speak of is for me. For me, I, like many of my colleagues, take very seriously the opportunity of representing not only the constituency, but being part of the history of the city, making our mark on the city. And who am I to say that I should be able to sit there indefinitely and not allow the next person to come in? And as I become an incumbent and my quote-unquote war chest grows, that by itself could be a deterrent for someone who, as Councilman Lattiser just said, had no experience in government but has a passion but wants to make their mark. And why not? allow someone to come in, and instead of requiring that, that we should be able to just stay indefinitely. If we believe in the constituents' ability to choose, then let's let the constituents decide whether or not they want term limits. What I'm saying is it's not up to us to say we want term limits. Who the heck are we? Why aren't we looking at having a question so that the constituents themselves, the residents, the voting public in Warwick can say, no, we like what we have right now. It's worked for us, and we want to continue this way. And we've had some great people, and we've had some people, as Councilman Solomon says, maybe weren't so great or never rose to their full ability. Let's say it that way. Or the voting public can certainly say, no, we don't want an elected body that is there indefinitely. We want there to be an end in sight, whether it be, like I say, three terms of 4, 12 years, or whatever it happens to be. Term limits can be either the full length of time, or it could be a maximum of no more than 12 years in a row. The person gets out, and if they're reelected, as was the case with council president, so be it. That's the wish of the people. That's just my two cents. There were a couple of other hands that were up. Ed, you had your hand up.
So the other thing I was going to add to this point of the conversation was because I think the larger points that have been raised to this point of discussion is that I think there can be a potential compromise. I personally believe that term limits are reflective in each and every election. The voters ultimately determine if you're doing a good job or not. If you're not, they're going to fire you. If they think you're doing a good job, they're going to continue to support you in the respective election. But I also think that much of the point of a few folks that have raised that, you know, the discussion of two-year terms versus four-year terms is, I don't think there's a perfect solution in any way, shape, or form. But what I have seen, and I believe is fundamental to giving a representative republic an opportunity to function to its best ability, is having staggered council seats in a particular case where if you were to go to four-year terms, five members of the council would be elected in one particular election cycle, where four would be elected 2 years thereafter in the next election cycle. And I know that goes contrary to the point that was raised in reference to raising cost savings associated with elections. The reason I raise that is because in that particular instance, while you're given the opportunity for people to become oriented to the respective legislative body in this context, you're also providing an opportunity for the voters to voice their concerns if they believe that legislative body is not going in the direction that they particularly cared for or were constituting when they voted in the preceding election. I would say, however, to the councilwoman's, the chairwoman's point, that when we're talking about a representative republic, a legislative body is the voice of the people, and the administration is the president and CEO. And I do believe that turnover in that particular seat is important as a part of this conversation, because if you have an individual who I believe is sitting there for a particular period of time, it can become stale. There is no checks and balances. And I think that's a part of a representative republic, is having the opportunity for the voters to revisit the direction of their particular community at any given time. And I think when it comes to an executive level office, I think it behooves us to look at the possibility of establishing, as many cities and towns, the state of Rhode Island, and of course the United States, each executive officer in many cases has 2 4-year terms by which the voters have the opportunity to select a new mayor in this particular case.
Councilman Marola.
Councilman Marola, and then Mr.
Stanley. I already spoke on term limits. But I just want to throw something out for food for thought, too. The mayor of the city of Warwick earns $100,000. Most of the department heads including the superintendent of schools. He is in charge of close. He is in charge of a $300 million. What CEO of a corporation makes $100,000 overseeing a $300 million? It costs to run for that position close to $200,000, especially And we haven't changed that in decades. I think we gave them a $10,000 once since I've been here.
It wasn't even a $10,000.
I don't know what it was, but they want to encourage people to take money out of their pocket to run for that office. And it's going to cost them 2 years of their salary, 2 years of salary, and they're going to have to give up their job, whatever their job is. And it's going to be Alpert's commercial. You might be aware. So you could be out $150,000 to $200,000 in one money to run for that position for $100,000. And traditionally, councils don't like addressing that issue because then it comes back to us in the election year that we're being a bunch of fat-paying elected officials. So what do? We sit down and we don't do anything. And as a result, you know, you get, and I'm not saying that Mayor Appaloosa is doing a good, bad job or indifferent, but we have an elected official that makes less than most firefighters.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's true. Less than most firefighters. How are you going to encourage people to run for that seat so you can have a dialogue and a debate of ideas if you're not going to at least reimburse them for whatever they're going to take out of the department? And Councilman Pellucci said many years ago, and I actually agree with him, that the easiest thing to do is to put something in a charter, to make that a charter change, and to have some incremental finance where you have it attached to a T-bill so it keeps up with whatever the rate of inflation is. So you keep that at a rate where you encourage people to get out, debate, and run for these positions. Because with inflation over time, that position that we pay, in essence, the same amount of money, is probably down 34% of the value that it had 30 years ago. And, if you're looking to encourage people to get involved in one of the most important positions in the city, that's where you have to look. Otherwise, no one's going to run for that position because they're going to be scared that they're going to lose their life savings and they might lose their job. And don't forget, if you win, you can lose in 2 years. And then you don't have any job to go back to and you lose your life savings. It's incredible that we have addressed it. I understand why, because we don't want to look like we are a bunch of people. Yeah. But I mean, I think that that's something.
That's a good point. Councilman Merola, Ms. Backus has spoken to me on several occasions about the feasibility of tying the school committee member's salary to a percentage of the mayor's salary in much the same way that the city council's is. Ms. Backus, do you want to talk about that? Do you not want to talk about that? About tying the school committee member's salary to a percentage of the mayor's salary.
Certainly. At the present time, the school committee receives in compensation what they were receiving in 1963, which in 1963, $4,000 or whatever they give us, was the starting salary for a first-year teacher, and now it's a joke.
No.
It doesn't even cover their expenses.
No, it doesn't.
And many of those positions, they're running citywide.
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, I'm citywide. I was elected citywide. And
you did a citywide with Mayor, right?
Yes, I did.
How much did that cost?
It's very expensive.
More than what you're making in 2 3 4
Yeah.
I mean, I think a citywide Mayor, last time I checked,
$2,200. Oh, I'm sorry. No, that was just my
ward. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's very expensive. But it's unfortunate, and so, and even the mayor's salary is, I mean, to pay our mayor, whether you like the current mayor or not, $100,000 a year is disrespectful. And I fought the $185,000 for the current superintendent of schools. I think we could have gotten somebody much better for much less. but it was not the will of the committee. I was just the black sheep.
Once again, the next one.
But no, but I have a problem with that. Not that maybe a superintendent shouldn't make more, but they shouldn't. It shouldn't be outrageous. Almost, you know, almost double what.
Okay. I think we had Mr. Sinoppi, and then we'll have Mr. Pacheco. Mr. Sinoppi, did you? Was it your hand?
So, what I was going to talk about briefly is when it comes to term lengths and limits. While my personal governing experience only comes from within schools, at least at URI, we had about a $2 million budget in total, $1 million in escrow to be used if needed, the other $1 million to budget accordingly, and we use pretty much all of it every year. And with that job, you got better the longer you were in it. It's just a fact. And you could do more later on in your tenure than you could in the beginning. So the people who were there for one stint typically didn't get anything done because they didn't know how things worked. They didn't know what has been tried in the past, what has failed. They didn't have the connections they needed to talk to who they needed to. They didn't even know who they needed to talk to, really. Versus by my last year, I could pretty much get anything done on a dime. I mean, we negotiated contracts with companies on our own, the student government, not the school. We could do pretty much everything, but the new person, in comparison, is not going to be able to do anything, really. Mm-hmm. And it really forestalls any good somebody can do, and unfortunately brings up a lot of bad that can happen as a result of someone trying to do a good job.
Lynn?
Celeste, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I think we're talking about the term limits of the council and the school committee, two separate things. But
correct.
I think before we talk about the term limits on the school committee, you should agree on the number of the school committee first, because right now the way the school committee is set up and the way it's operating is, it you know, unfortunately the way it's kind of we're held into this 4 years, and it's really the powers that be. It's not working the way it should be working. And it's. But I think we need to agree on a number first for the school committee before we can agree on what the term limits need to be.
Okay. Councilman Gallucci, go ahead.
Somebody had mentioned 9 positions or whatever. What I've seen in particular with regard to school consolidation, I've lived here all my life. It's very unusual over the last 10 years to have the number of school closures that we did. But what I found was that it was easier, not to say for you, but it was easier. In my case, I was one of the first ones that lost a school. I lost Drum Rock and I lost Pottawamat. And, you know, not to say anything about any of my colleagues, but none of my colleagues were at the school committee meetings when I was there or concerned about my school district. But when their school district came up, they were all there and they were concerned about this. I had already lived through it. But when you're looking at closing one school in one area of the city and you are elected citywide, the significance to that, losing that one area of votes, well, is not that significant. And the same is true if you're elected from one third of the city. You'd lose one third of maybe the votes, and maybe you wouldn't. And then two thirds, well, it doesn't really impact you. And so I just throw that out for food for thought if you're looking at, you know, an expanded school committee. You know, it's a two-edged sword, which is you eliminate that problem, but maybe if you had one person from one district, they would probably vote no, but maybe the other 8 would vote yes because it doesn't impact them. And, you know, the idea of a school committee being elected compared to a school committee being appointed is you're supposed to be one step removed from the process. So I guess the next logical question is, why have a school committee at all if it's going to be appointed by the people that ultimately have the say anyway, right? So, I mean, why not we just vote on all school issues? Because we're going to appoint the people that we want that are going to represent our interests anyway. So the idea, as imperfect as it was, okay, and there's times like this where you see it's not perfect. But the idea was to have some sort of check and balance, and that people elected to a position may be more responsive to the voters than not. But you can see when you pick off one school over here and another school over there, that it's not that much of an impact on the electorate. So I always debated on the school committee because I was always very concerned that in essence we'd be choosing, we as elected officials, whether it's the mayor or the body, people that have our beliefs in the system and therefore were really kind of holding the box. So, but that's, you know, been coming here a long time. And I'm not saying I'm in favor of one or the other, I'm going to listen, but that was always my concern.
Okay, Lynn, let's go to Lynn. And I just want to mention to you all that we had originally scheduled 90 minutes. I want to be respectful of your time. So this obviously is going to be something that we need to discuss again. I'd like to get anyone who hasn't had the opportunity to speak to go ahead and speak. And then let's schedule the next three meetings, please. Go ahead.
I just had a question that might be timely given Mr. Barola's commentary. I'm wondering if anyone can speak to the fact that the terms for city council and mayor are 2 years and the school committee being 4 years, if there are any benefits to having them sync up or strategies to keeping them separate amounts of time. I'm trying to learn here.
Councilman?
Our institutional story.
Early night.
I heard this before.
The head of citizens committee came back for a position of manager to pay $100,000 and possibly get 10% with incremental raises depending on inflation, etc. And it didn't fly by the council. What I tried to do with that term limits over the years is come up with some consensus believing that life is a series of compromises. I'm just going to throw out an opinion for you all to consider. I believe mayor, council, school committee, consideration now 3-4 year terms. School committee, you have to decide whether you want to appoint or elect school committee with 9 members, and they also would get 10% of what we agree with the mayor. By the way, that doesn't have to be a charter. This council, the elected council, that's proposed to an increase in the position of mayor now before anybody declares, declares in June, not now. And would it fly, in my opinion? I doubt it. Well, because you're going to say, well, gee, if I go for this, it's saying, well, we should either not limit the policy.
Right.
Well, what's in the charter with the public vote, in my opinion, it won't fly. But with the council votes, and it's a council, it's really a council action. Now, looking at this school committee sheet, there are only 2 of the big 5 that have appointed school committees, Providence and Saco. Only 2. 4%. I always look at the big 5. I don't look at East Bay, I don't look at Barrington, Billbrook. These are the 5 biggest ones. And my biggest hang up, really, this past budget, is why does the city of Cranston, right, with an equal number of students, get more than twice as much in state aid than we do? Why? But that, I just wanted to throw out times in the past and going forward with what should be done. And it's a tough thing. It's a tough call. Yeah. Some of us do the job, and the councilman indicated the 2 schools were closed. But 5 were closed before you even know. And they all happened
A third of the tax base. But of course, we are going to cover schools as a separate issue.
Right, madam.
So I want to, I'd like to hold those comments. But again, looking at the lateness of the hour, if we could please set what the next three meetings will be. First of all, how do Wednesdays look for everyone here? Is this typically a good night of the week for you guys?
Wednesdays can... Would that include next Wednesday?
Next Wednesday.
Yes. Let's
see meeting next Wednesday.
Wednesdays.
What time is your...
6:00.
Okay. All right. So we have an educational review committee next Wednesday. What about next Tuesday, the 5th? Does that work?
Isn't that school committee next Tuesday?
Is that school committee meeting, Karen?
Next Tuesday is fine.
Yeah. Wednesday is the educational review committee, so we have several of our members who are actually part of that organization.
The 5th work for everyone?
I could make the 6th the Wednesday that week, but maybe that's, or the Thursday.
Okay. All right. So, Jeremy, I hate to do this to you, but it looks like it's going to have to be on the 5th, Tuesday the 5th.
Tuesday the 5th.
Yes, Tuesday, April 5th, same time, 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So from 6 to 7:30. Everyone will be contacted for this room. Yes, I understand. We'll have a location. If it's not up here, then it'll be downstairs in the finance. What about the following week?
The 13th zoning board is up here.
As in Tuesday.
What about Tuesday the 12th?
Tuesday's the 12th.
The school committee.
What about the going back to Wednesday?
Go back to Wednesday.
What about Wednesday the 13th?
I'm good with Wednesday.
We'll have to get a different room.
We'll have a different room. That's fine. Okay. And the week of the 18th.
I'll be away.
That's school vacation week. So we're going to skip a week and go the following week. The week of the 25th. Is the 27th doable?
That's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday?
Yes.
Okay.
27th.
April 27th. Yes, absolutely. With a copy of the minutes.
Yeah.
No, with a copy of the minutes. All right. So we've got April 6th, 13th, and 27th. April 5th. Good grief. Thank you. 5th, 13th, and 27th. The 5th is a Tuesday. Right.
13th and 27th.
And it would be from 6 to 7:30. And a copy of the minutes and the schedule will be sent to all of you.
As well as...
As well as a copy of the charter and the agenda.
Just for clarification of the agenda, so we understand that term limits for the school committee will be added in to a separate bullet of school committee charter, like what we're going to decide on the school committee.
Term limits is for all elected officials is one particular issue, Mr.
Howell. So should we discuss the term limits?
We haven't finished speaking about term limits, but I understand from what Celeste was saying that we'll have to revisit that for school committee anyway when we talk about school committee. That's why it's all together. Yes.
I brought it up, but then saying either elected.
No, we haven't even gotten to that yet. We haven't even gotten to the makeup of the school committee. Yes, absolutely. Okay, so it is now 7:39. I'm sorry for keeping you a few minutes late, but the meeting is now adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Will we get? I have it on. I can get it online. But will there be copies of the charter made for the?
Yes.
The 13th, 27th.
The 13th might be bad. Both of those persons might be bad for me.
I think the 13th might be the Norwood Neighborhood Association meeting with Scott Aviation. But I'm not certain.
So the process will be that we will discuss, agree, and then after we discuss, agree, and we select, we vote to move on to the council for committee hearing. Correct? For each action in the line.
Every 2 years.
Right.
so it doesn't change the difference between 42 and 42.
Okay.
He's a distant relative. Do you know Richard? He's an attorney, Richard.
I accidentally gave you mine. I'm going to trade you. You have the first draft. I have the after one.
Right. We don't want to get 15 like that. But I would say we should try to go up no more than 6. The more you complicate the maybe, at least. The more difficult.
Clear, I think the school committee is going to be a big one. That's something that I'm very interested in.
Yeah, a school committee.
Yeah.
School committee.
Like even a hybrid school committee appointed and elected.
Exactly.
You know,
yes. Yeah. Which is what Carol said. I got to get some.
That's right. And then again, once you narrow down, it's the best of. I know Pawtucket does it this way. The best for theirs, it's the best of 7. So you're going to have 20 candidates, the top 7 get elected. So people can select 7. They're not limited to, you know, 1 or 2.
I think 9 might be a bit much, but I think 7 is a good number.
I agree.
What Camille said with 5, 3 people shouldn't have that much power.
That's right. I agree.
It's only two.
And there's the one. You're right.
Right.
And that's why I think 7's a good number. 5 even, I'm questionable.
And then we have to wrestle with, are you going to be 4 appointed or 4 elected?
Right. And I was thinking also about the someone said about the flipping years, and that were like a 4 and then a 2 and a 2. That's horrible, because then obviously that's where people who are like, well, the 2 that are in now, they would fill it if we did 5, they would keep the 2, and then they would really throw all their money consolidatively, you know, into that 1, and then control.
The people don't come up for those elections, I think, as far as the school committee.
Right.
You don't have a lot of people running for school committee. And that's my issue with appointed school committees. Because you don't get the best of the best.
But also, I think what Councilman Marola said was a great point. I didn't know what the salary was. $4,000? You're going to put everything out there for $4,000? I'm sorry. I mean, it's, you know, I run a nonprofit, and I sit there, when I go home and do my own personal budget, I'm like, okay, I'm really sacrificing a lot. You know, I'm putting a kid through college. I'm really sacrificing a lot, you know.
And the problem with the mayor's salary, and Councilman Gallucci touched on it, is city councils don't want to touch it, because it ends up looking self-serving, because we get 10% of what the mayor gets.
Right, right.
So if you give the mayor, and I agree with him, I mean, I think it's an embarrassment.
Right.
I think it's outrageous that we have, forget the person. We're talking about the positions. The office of the mayor, regardless of who's sitting in that office. To say that you're senior, or as you said, CEO of this city, second largest city in the state, is getting paid less than the vast amount of the employees that work here.
Right.
How does it compare to the other cities, like the other big cities? Do you know salary-wise?
Well, I know the mayor of Providence. I don't know what the number is, but it's dramatically more. Dramatically.
And he does dramatically less.
Yeah. And to Steve's other point is, so the mayor hasn't gotten a raise in whatever amount of years it's been. So technically, he's probably, in real time, he's probably making $70,000.
Right.
I'm just throwing a number out there.
Right.
His salary is actually $180,000. He's not exaggerating. The majority of the firefighters, their average salary, by the way, average salary of a firefighter, rank and file, is $78,000 a year. That's average. When you factor in the overtime, the average firefighter is making, not the average, the majority, vastly, the lion's share of the majority is making over $100,000 a year. That's ridiculous. You get a superintendent of schools that's making $186,000?
Yeah.
Really? That's insane.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And it's the school committee that controls that.
There's department heads in this city that make 40 to 50% more than the mayor. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And I do agree, for sure, on term limits for a corner office. Corner office should absolutely have 2 4-year terms. Mayor of the General Assembly,